your world, heard daily, right here. News, weather, traffic, and talk. Super Talk 99.7 WTN.
Before we get to Congressman Desjarlais, your Beacon Capital Management market snapshot shows Dow futures down 42, NASDAQ futures up 2. Oil is down 15 cents at $59.56. Natural gas down 2 cents at $2.83. Gold is up $2 at $11.74 an ounce. Silver down 3 cents at $15.78. And the 10-year bond yielding 2.40. That is up one tick. Next market snapshot in 1.5 hour, courtesy of Beacon Capital Management, on the web at beaconcm.com. Congressman Scott Desjarlais, Tennessee's 4th District, was among those who first pushed this particular case against Obamacare, among the first to say that those subsidies and mandates should not apply to states that did not adopt their or set up their own state exchanges. So, Congressman Desjarlais, I don't have to guess that you are disappointed in this ruling. I know you're disappointed in this ruling.
The Supreme Court decided to use a different approach instead of using the Constitution and look at the actual language of the bill. They decided to try to make interpretations on what the intent was. And I would argue that the intent was to fool the people. Jonathan Gruber confirmed that this was a state-run healthcare system, not a federal. So the language was carefully written to indicate that this subsidies could only be issued in states that set up exchanges in that fashion.
The conventional wisdom now is that while Republicans in Congress are acting all righteous and indignated about this, that they're really relieved that you don't have to do anything to follow up a Supreme Court decision that would strike down these subsidies. Are you seeing and hearing secret sighs of relief among the hallways in Congress and the Republican offices?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you look at the numbers, and you can see a number of statements if you read through the Tennessean or any other paper, that just look at the groups that are happy with this and look at the ones who aren't. Blue Cross Blue Shield thinks that this is a good deal because they can continue to get that government money. The AMA and Tennessee Hospital Association are talking about how this preserves health insurance for 156,000 Tennesseans. I think what gets lost in this, it's not that we don't want to provide affordable health care for everyone. It's just that what's happened here is you look at that number in Tennessee or you look at the number nationwide, they say, what do you do when 6 million people suddenly lose their subsidies? Well, how can we ignore the 97% of America that is facing unaffordable premiums and deductibles? So it's a law that is hurting the vast majority of people. And if you're one of the 156,000 in Tennessee that's getting $272 a month, and Ralph, I don't think you're probably getting $272, or probably most of the listeners aren't.
Well, actually, I might from my employer, but not from the taxpayer. Although when I get health insurance through my employer, it is subsidized by the taxpayer because I don't have to pay taxes on that part of my compensation. I don't like that either. I'd rather none of us have subsidized health insurance, which brings me to the question. I want you to listen to one thing President Obama said yesterday that I think is startling and startlingly false. And if this is the assumption that America is going by, then we have a different problem than I thought we did.
5 years ago, after nearly a century of talk, decades of trying, a year of bipartisan debate, we finally declared that in America, health care is not a privilege for a few, but a right for all.
Now, it's never been a privilege for a few, but did I miss the meeting in which we declared health care is a right for all? And if we do, what does that obligate the United States government to do, the taxpayers?
Well, it sounds like take care of people from cradle to grave, that just rely on the government. But we see Medicaid is broke. We see Medicare has an $80 trillion unfunded liability. We now have government health care for all, and it is on an unsustainable path. It's only helping about 3% of America right now, hurting the other 97%. And worse things are to come. We know in Tennessee, Blue Cross has already announced there will be double-digit premium increases next year. We're talking 30-some percent. And so I think that, the president, to do a victory lap, spike the football, talk about how great this is, he should be talking about all the promises that he broke when he pushed this law down our throat, saying that our average premium would go down $2,500 when it's actually gone up about $4,000, promising you that if you like your doctor, you can keep him. All the promises that he made have been broken. The law has been on shaky foundation since the beginning, and it will collapse under its own financial weight. So we have not done anything to protect people's health care. All we've done is jeopardize it like the other federally run programs.
Is this a winnable issue for the Republican presidential nominee in 2016, and under what circumstances? Must he also be specific about what he will replace Obamacare with, or is that something Republicans can decide later, run on repealing Obamacare and replace it later?
Yeah, I think for any presidential candidate that has a winning strategy, it's all how they message it. Again, I think it's important to look at the fact that, you know, Obama said there was 30 million uninsured. Well, there's 330 million people. We forget about the number of people who had to drop their insurance. People who had insurance now are just paying the tax penalty on their IRS form. Maybe it's $180 because they can't afford the insurance they had. So still more people lost their insurance than these 6 million that they're saying gained insurance that are getting about $3,000 a year in taxpayer subsidy. So you have to make sure people have the facts. The big rub is going to be to a president that says, oh, you're so heartless that you would take away insurance from 10 million people, which is what it may be in a couple of years. But they've got to be willing to help the 320 million people out there that need to be able to afford it. So there's a better way to do it. They've got to have that plan to show we're getting the federal government with all its bureaucracy and regulations out of the way, let the free market work, and then we will find a way to make affordable health care for everyone, not have a plan that's going to break and bring this country to its knees.
But it is true, is it not, that this now is squarely in the arena of the presidential campaign and really nowhere else. There's nothing Congress can do while President Obama is in office. There's no other court case that's going to pose a significant challenge to this. This is now over until 2017, and we have a new president. And it's all on that stage, that presidential campaign stage.
And it is going to be in the court of public opinion. As we roll into 2016 and people start seeing these double-digit premium increases on top of what they already can't afford, you're going to see a much more vocal America. They're going to get the Obamacare in its worst form. And Obama designed it this way. He had it phased in. So it wasn't until after his reelect that people saw some of the worst parts of it. Well, now after he's on his way out next year, people are going to see the skyrocketing cost. And I think that the Republican candidates will be buoyed by public opinion to get rid of this law because they simply can't afford it.
Does this ruling move it to the top of the issues in the 2016 campaign? Does it leapfrog over national security and the economy and tax reform and everything else?
I believe it'll be a top three. It'll be a top three issue. It'll be one of the things that's spoken about by every candidate.
Yeah. Congressman Scott Desjarlais, thank you, sir. Thanks for joining us here on Nashville Morning News.